Good morning. Seriously, good morning. Good morning. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And in obedience to Him, there's always the A-type that wants to be first. We will rejoice. Amen? We will rejoice in it. And I pray that in the moments that we have together now and looking at God's Word, that there is an anticipation in your heart to hear from God, to hear what God has for you and for me this morning. And in light of that, I want to just invite you to take a minute to pray with me. There's a lot of traditions about prayer, the posture of what prayer might look like, and so I just want to invite you in where you're at. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit. I grew up with the, you know, close your eyes and fold your hands, and looking back, realizing what kind of kid I was, I understand what that was about now, when my mom would say, close your eyes and fold your hands, you know, and love Jesus. You know, so whatever, just in this moment, I want you just to assume that posture, that physical posture, that would help you just connect with God, and you talk to Him. I'm going to talk on our behalf. You can listen to what I'm saying, or you can ignore what I'm saying, and just talk to God for a moment. Just be in that moment of you and Him. Father, What a mind-blowing thought, truth, that you, as eternal God, have invited us to have an audience with you. You sit on the throne, and we walk into your throne room, and you hold out your scepter, and you remind us that we belong there. We are welcome there because of your Son, Jesus Christ, because of what He's done on the cross. And as we approach your throne and we stand or we kneel or we just fall on our faces, I picture Jesus standing there right next to us. And He's reminding us that because of who He is and because of what He's done, that's our Father sitting on the throne. And He's excited to hear from us. He is loving and gracious, and He's looking on us with eyes of love and with eyes of compassion. And you already know, Father, you already know each thought and each desire, and yet you, in your grace, you just allow us to bring those before you and communicate them to you. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for what it says about who you are and your character, that you would want to meet with us, that you would want to hear from us, that you would want to be with us. I thank you for that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you as our Savior, as our Lord, as our brother and our friend, that you have done the work and it's complete. What you did on the cross is enough. It's more than enough to make a way possible for us to be forgiven, to be washed clean, to be recreated, to be remade, and to have fellowship with you and with your Spirit, and with you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your work on our behalf. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would move in these moments that we're together, that there wouldn't be anyone here in this room that would not fully understand what we're talking about and what we're experiencing in these moments. That the grace of God would pour into their lives, that you would reach in, Father, through your Spirit. You would tear down the walls and the barriers so that their heart is exposed to you and their heart would receive who you are and what you have for them. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so deeply, so persistently, and being here in this moment. In Jesus, your precious Son's name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, I ask you to do that. I ask you just to take this minute, because this morning I want to talk to you about that very thing. How do we talk to God? The word we often use is pray, right? It's a common word, and there's always a danger when a word becomes common that it either loses its significance or we forget its significance. Toilet paper is very common, right? I buy ours at Costco or Sam's Club, and it comes in giant packages, and it's common, and it's treated that way. You know, we live in a two-story house. When I come home and I got that big package, I huck it. I just, is that a word? I don't know if that's a word, but I use that word. Like, okay, thank you. I huck it up the stairs, it goes there and it gets busted open and it gets dispersed throughout the house and it's, you know, it's all over the place and you throw the core things away. It's just a common thing, right? And we take it for granted though because it's for common. Because what happens when there isn't any? Yeah. Anybody but me made a midnight run to some convenience store or something, you know, like, it's one of those embarrassing moments where you're walking in, you know, 11:30 at night, and all you're buying is a four-pack of toilet paper, and it's $25 for the, you know, the four-pack, because they know why you're there. But then it becomes very, very important, right? And we're reminded in those moments, when there's no toilet paper, we are reminded there's a very clear vision and understanding of the purpose of bathroom tissue. Right? It brings it all back. When it's not available and I gotta have it, all of a sudden you remember why we have that. And I think even, I'm just gonna go on a limb here, I think there's been moments where some of us in this room have prayed in that moment and just said, thank you, God, for the toilet paper, the accessibility of toilet paper. There's the person right there. Okay? I spent a month in Indonesia a few years ago. I learned how significant bathroom tissue really is. My point is, things that are common can lose their significance until there's that crisis moment. And I really believe that the word prayer is one of those things. We throw it around, we talk about it, we do it in certain ways, and I think there's a very real danger that we're missing out so much because we just aren't really in the moment. So this word prayer, how do I pray? How do I talk to God? And I'm going to use that phrase because if you want to know my personal understanding and definition of prayer, that's it. You're talking to God. You're talking to God. You know, there's something sacred about the time in my life, my wife and I picked on her last week, so I'm going to be nice this week. I got in trouble. I got emails. People said, be nice to your wife. So, honey, I love you. You want to sit in the front row this morning? I didn't think so. Oh, I'm not being nice again. No, I'm going to be nice. There is something sacred about this moment that Becky and I have, not every night, because sometimes we're tired and there's things, but there's those mini nights, more often than not, where you just have a few minutes before the end of the day, you know, all that's gone on. Sometimes you talk about what you got to do next day or, you know, the ride situation to work or, you know, remember tomorrow night or you, and you just, it's just me and her. It's just me and her. And the guard is down. My breath may stink at that point, you know, if I forgot to brush my teeth. You know, hopefully I put on some more deodorant before I climbed in bed, because, you know what I mean, just the dregs of the day. Maybe you had a tough day, maybe you've been frustrated, maybe it's been a good day, it can be all kinds of things. But the guard is down. Trust me, I am not trying to impress her at 11:30 at night, laying in the pillow next to her. I'm not. I'm done with all that, it's just me and her. And we can laugh, we can pray, we can cry. We can express frustration, right? We can even be real, like, you know, when you did that today, that I didn't like that, or that hurt me, or we can be honest, we can confess. You following the thinking here? It's just me and her laying there, and we're talking. Church, that's prayer. It's just the only difference is it's me and God. It's me and God. And the guards are down, the masks are off, there's honesty, I'm being real with him. You know, I'm never disrespectful to my wife. I don't, you know, chew her out or whatever. I can be honest with her, right? I can tell her I'm frustrated or that she did something I didn't like, and we can be real, but I'm never disrespectful to her. Again, that's prayer. I can be honest with God. I can tell him I'm frustrated. I can be angry. I don't disrespect him. I keep in mind who he is. I keep in mind who this woman laying next to me is. Who is she? She's my wife. I made a lifetime commitment to her, to love her like Christ loves the church. I can't lose sight of that. And when I talk to God, I talk to Jesus, I can be real. The masks are gone. The guard is down. The dregs of the day are, my humanness is there. My brokenness is there. I never forget who he is. I never forget what he did on the cross for me and who he is. But I just talk to him. Church, that's prayer. That's prayer. So this question, how do I talk to God? You ever ask that question? No, just me. All by myself. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit work on us, turn us from liars to honest, broken people. Anybody else ask that question? Come on, Joe, put your hand up. You can't hide behind John. I see you. tired this morning? I was expecting somebody to do this. How do I talk to God? It's a good question. I know it's a good question because Jesus answers it. He anticipates that. He anticipates this struggle that we have. Is that fair to say that we struggle with prayer? We struggle with taking it seriously enough. We struggle with understanding it. We struggle with all kinds of obstacles that we put in the way of just praying. You know, I prayed a few minutes ago publicly, and I've grown up in church, and, you know, I'm very conscious. I want to be very, very real in my praying in public because I grew up in church, and there were often people that prayed up front that I remember thinking, man, I can never pray like that. There were so many verses and scriptures in that prayer, and I didn't even know God had 50 names and all those different references, and there's an Old Testament reference. Whoa, you know that? I know I can't, and I remember thinking that's off limits to me. Because if that's what prayer is, I just don't feel qualified. I don't feel like that can be me. We struggle with prayer. And Jesus knows that. And so he answers this question for us. We're in a series that we started last week. And if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to be. We're looking at the last two chapters that are the second half of the Sermon on the Mount, as it's often called. And we're calling this rock solid because at the end of this message, and you can see it there at the end of chapter 7, he closes out this time of teaching, this discourse, by saying that if you listen to what I'm saying and you do it, you're like a person who builds their house on a rock. And if you hear what I'm saying and you don't do it, you're like a person who builds their house on sand. What's happening right now in the East Coast? In one word, it's a storm, right? It's a specific type, but it is a very powerful storm. I don't know if you've seen any video or footage of as it came through the Caribbean and what it's done through those different countries, and now it's coming up our eastern coast, and the damage that it's done, the destruction, the loss of life. That's what storms do. They blow lives apart. And Jesus is saying, if you want a life that's built upon a rock, then you need to hear what I'm saying and you need to obey it. If you're willing to risk it and build your house on sand because the storm will come, then hear what I'm saying, and then you decide what to do with it. And so we're calling this series Rock Solid. How do I storm-proof my life? So that when the storm comes, my life is built on something solid. We laid down the first block last week. We talked about our giving. Anybody here for that? If you weren't here, it's on the website. That's the first block in a strong foundation. This morning, it's about prayer. In his discourse, in his teaching, when he comes to what we have as chapter 6, verse 5, we read here, we hear him say as we read this. Whenever you pray, he's anticipating the question, right, that we've been talking about. You with me? You guys are a little bit relaxed this morning. That's okay. He says, when you pray, he's anticipating the questions, the struggle we have. He also is assuming that we're praying. When you talk to God, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues, which was a public place of worship, and they love to stand on the street corners to be seen by people. Let me read that again. Did you hear what he described there? When you pray, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. They've got what comes with that. But when you pray, if you mark your Bible, some of you do, I do, excuse me, just underline that little phrase here. But when you pray, now we're going to hear the heart of Jesus. Now we're going to hear the Son of God open up a window for us and say, let me just tell you how me and the Father and the Spirit, how we look at prayer. Here's how we want you to interact with us, how you talk to the Father. Here's how you talk to God. When you pray, you go into your private room, you shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, meaning this intimacy, it's you and him, it's one-on-one. And your Father who sees in secret in that moment will reward you. When you pray, don't babble. Just means a lot of words running on. Someone said diarrhea of the mouth. Is that gross? Okay, but now you're all paying attention. You know, we're just kind of vomiting words. We're just kind of on and on. Don't babble like the idolaters. We'll come back to that word. It's significant. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine, they think and believe, they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. There's another phrase to underline if you mark your Bible, right? Oh, come on, church. Your Father knows what you need. Some of you, that's it. You can leave now. Because that's what you... No, not amen that you can leave now. Who said that? No, okay. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. But, you know, that's what you needed to hear. You needed to be reminded or hear for the first time that your Father, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you've come into the family of God through the grace of God by faith, the work on the cross recreates us and brings us into the family of God. If that's been your step of faith and you're a part of the family of God, you need to know that your Father in heaven knows what you need. He knows what you need. So let me start with, maybe some will see as negative, but it's the reality that Jesus, He gets it, and I'm going to use the word that's in your notes, He exposes our struggle with prayer. See, all of His words here are coming from an understanding that only God has, Jesus being God in human form. It comes from an understanding that only God has as to the real issues in our struggle with prayer. Why do we struggle with prayer? What is it that may... Something that should be so simple, right? It should be so easy in a very real sense. You know, I got married 30-something years ago. Communication. I remember premarital counseling. We talked about communication. Dude, I talk all the time. I've been talking since I came out of the womb. You know, I talk. I can do that. This is easy. It should be easy, right? Come on, husbands. All you know. No husband wants to even look at his wife right now or even make any motion. Because it wasn't easy, and it's still not easy. I struggle with it. What is going on? Why is it that something that should be so easy and happen without a lot of effort is such a struggle? Jesus says, I'll tell you why. And that's what He's doing in these words. He's exposing our struggle with prayer. And I really believe what He's doing here is He puts it into two general categories of why we struggle with prayer. And they're based upon two words that He uses in this part of His teaching. Hypocrites and idolaters. You see them there? Hypocrites and idolaters. And this is negative. He's saying, don't do this. Don't be this way. Here's the struggle you have with prayer. The first one is that you really struggle with hypocrisy. Well, yeah, look at the Pharisees. No. Yes, there's a picture for you there to see what it looks like. But what I really believe Jesus is doing is He's pointing it back to us and saying, every single one of us, I'm not pointing at you, us, we struggle with hypocrisy. We struggle with how we want people to see us or to think of us. Whether it's a guy up front saying, okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know. There's motive behind that, right? Of how that person wants to be seen in that moment. And it comes right down to where you're praying with a few people or you're praying with your family. Go back to where we started, the commonality of something and how it loses its significance. How easy is it for us at our table when we sit down to break bread and we eat to go through a ritual of prayer? I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I am trying to, through, hopefully with God's help, the Spirit of God this morning, is just to open up our eyes and to take a look at how we talk to God. And I'll raise my hand. I've been guilty multiple times of, oh, we need to pray. Father, thank you for this food. You know, okay, blah, blah, blah. And I just, and I'll be straight up with you. Often the motivation is that in that moment is, hold on, I'm a pastor. You know, we're at a restaurant, and the person meeting with me is looking at me like, dude, are you going to pray? You know, you're right. Let's pray. You know, and maybe in the moment I'm not even, you know, thinking about what I'm doing, but that's where it's coming from. You see, I struggle with hypocrisy. We all do. And Jesus says that's going to be a problem in your prayer life, in your talking to God. Because when you look at this dramatic example of the Pharisees, these religious leaders that they were exposed to, they loved to pray standing in the synagogues. They loved to pray on the street corners. They loved to be seen by people. What Jesus is saying is that is not how you talk to your Father. Let go of it. Just let go. He said, watch out, because I know you struggle with hypocrisy. The truth is, prayer is not about making you look good in somebody else's eyes. Now hold on, be careful, because it's also possible that we are hypocritical and that we actually believe we can somehow impress God. Now come on. We've been there. I've been there. God, you know, I really want you to work in this person's life. Oh, Father, I love them so much. And oh, I want the best. Oh, and we're impressing God with our spiritual condition, right? And we're, no? It can happen in our talking to Him. It certainly can happen directly this way with the people that we're around. Jesus says, I know that you struggle. I know that there's a very real struggle with hypocrisy. And let me just kind of wash that all away and say this. It's really meant to just be sincere. It's really about authenticity. It's really about just understanding that somehow you've convinced yourself that you can get away with this with other people or with God. And the truth is you can't. We can't. You're looking at me like, oh, yes, I can. I'm good. I've got lots of practice. Well, that means it might be a little harder for you to let go of that, but the message from Jesus, I really believe, is the same. Just let go. Just let go of it. Lay it down. Stop. Do we believe that God can see right through any kind of wall or barrier or facade or mask that we put up, and He just sees right through it? What does He say to them? He says, they'll get their reward. They'll fool some people. There will be some people who go, wow, wow. Listen to how they pray. They must be so close to God. They must be so connected to Him. That's what they want, and they'll get some of that. That's what they'll get. What He's saying is, yeah, you can fool people sometimes, but we can't fool God. And if prayer is about talking to God, then I want to look at my heart in the relationship to Him and say, okay, I just can't fool Him. I can't impress Him. He's not going to love me anymore. He's not going to love me any less. There's nothing that can change His commitment to me. I am what I am in my brokenness and in my recreation through the Spirit of God. It's what I am, and He is who He is, and there it is. And so that's where I'm going to live. And that's where I'm going to talk to Him in that state. Just watch out, because I know hypocrisy is a real struggle. The other one, and that's the public. That's most often the public. Sometimes private, as I just talked about, but that's kind of a public expression of struggle. The other word He uses is idolaters, because the truth is we struggle with idolatry. We do. He says, no, I don't have any idol in my house. There's no shrine. There's no incense burning. There's no candles that are being lit to it. I don't pray to my ancestors. Wait, what are you talking about idolatry? And I don't have to answer that question, do I? Because if you're just quiet in your own heart, you know the answer to that question, don't you? As I do. Right? Come on, are you with me? If we're honest and we're just quiet in our heart, we can say, you know what? I have idols. I have idols. I have things that I serve. I have things that I give myself. I have things that I look to give me what I want. There you go. You know, I bought a used truck a couple of weeks ago, and like, I got a truck. Sam took away my man card years ago. I drove a Mini Cooper convertible, and I had a pink shirt on. Do you remember that moment? You're driving a Prius? Well, do you remember that moment? It was right here. I had a pink shirt on, and he stuck his hand, and he says, give me your man card. He'd drive that little convertible. It's a girl's car, and you got a pink shirt, and give me your man card. So I got my man card back. I bought a truck. It's a little truck. It's a Toyota. Can I have half my card back? I'll just carry half of it. We'll tear it. We'll trade. I get this truck. It's like, oh, I got a truck, you know. And you know what happened right away? I'm walking around the truck. I'm thinking, I'm feeling good. You know, I got this truck. I can do work. I can put tools in the back. And I'm walking around the truck, and there's a ding here, and there's a thing, you know, kind of hanging off here. The fog light's late. Literally, it fell out, and I had to take it and put it back in. And I'm like, how ridiculous is it that I'm looking to this truck, and somehow as a part of my identity, part of, you know, who I am, and that I'm looking to this piece of metal and machinery, which is great, it's a tool, but I'm looking to it to give me something that it can't give me. It's an idol. And Jesus says, be careful. Watch out for the idolaters. What the idolaters do is this. He says, they just talk, they babble, since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. What is He saying? They feel that they have the power, they have the control. If they say this enough times, God has to do it. And what they've done is they've taken God off the throne and they've put religion on the throne, ritual on the throne. Some would say they've taken themselves and putting themselves on the throne and say, you know, if I just do this, he's got... Do we struggle with that? Oh, we do. Every one of us struggles with putting ourselves on the throne where we don't belong. And we struggle by putting something else on the throne. It might be money. It might be possessions. It could be how people see us. It could be our reputation. It could be health. It could be a relationship, right? It could be our kids. It could be our grand. It could be just about anything. We can take what God created to be good and turn it into an idol. No? A couple of heads? Jesus says, I know that you struggle with prayer. And the big obstacles, the big challenges is this idea of not being sincere, not being authentic, but instead being hypocritical. And the other one, and this is a very private aspect of our struggle, is this idea of idolatry. Let me say something that is, I think, known to us, but it's almost like you want to put our fingers in our ears and go, la, la, I don't want to hear this. But it's the truth. Prayer is not about getting what we want. Do you realize that's an idol in and of itself? It can be. Right? Prayer is not about getting what I want, but it can certainly become that. And that becomes then this obstacle when I just need to talk to God. And instead of just talking to God, just he and I, in this authentic, real interchange, I come with a heart that says, God, you know what? If I don't get this, I'm not sure I can be happy. If you don't do this, I think my life is over. If you don't rearrange this or fix this or provide for this, my faith. I'm just really worried about my faith. That it's, I don't know if it's strong enough. You guys still love me? You look at me like, you're just ruining everything about prayer. You know, that's not my intent. And it's certainly not Jesus' intent. It's to open up our eyes to see this beautiful, beautiful moment that he's offered to us that can be a part of our life on a daily, hourly basis. How do I talk to God? He says, well, first of all, you got to come to terms with your struggle. You got to be real. You got to be honest. Hypocrisy and idolatry are going to keep our prayer from being what God intends it to be. It's going to keep us from being able just to talk to God. Exposes the struggle that we have with prayer. And then he goes on to say this. He goes on to say this. Therefore, verse 9, he says, you should pray like this. You see, the disciples are doing what we're doing. Everything that I thought I, you know, and oh, I'm such a failure at prayer. And yes, I struggle with that. And oh, I'm that. And oh, you know, I'm just not even going to, I don't even want to talk to God anymore. Now he's gonna say, okay, that's necessary. Be honest, be real, come to terms with that. But now let me show you how you can talk to God. In fact, he's going to give us some words here, but I want to challenge you to do this in the few minutes we have left. As I'm talking and walking through these, here's what I want us to see. It's more than just his teaching in this moment, these words that we're familiar with. It's really about his life. It's really about Jesus. What he's about to say, we're going to read, Jesus models. Don't miss that. He didn't just say it in this message. He lived it. The Creator lived it and modeled it for us. You think on that as we read through these words. He says, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Very familiar words, right? Let me take you back just for a minute to where we started. Be very careful. Be very careful. That prayer or words or prayers that are recorded for us in the Bible don't become common and we just run right over them and we don't stop and we don't take, just breathe it in. What is this? What am I saying? What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm talking to God. And Jesus says, this is how you talk to God. I want you to reflect, even in the coming week, as you're reading through Matthew, those of you who are doing the Matthew Reading Challenge, or wherever you're reading in the Bible, just reflect on, did Jesus actually model this? Is it just a message, that some words that he said, hey, Jefferson, this is how you pray? Or is this how he lived when he was here on earth? Does he model it? And I would propose to you that he does, that he modeled it for us. Now, these words have been dissected. They've been looked at a thousand different angles, and there's a lot of good ways that we could look at them and be profited by them. But I want to just zoom in on a couple of challenges. They're in your notes this morning. And I'm just going to suggest to you, this is kind of big picture of this prayer, what is sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, this modeling of prayer for us from the words and the life of Jesus. Just two thoughts and how he models for us what prayer should look like. Or how do I talk to God, Jesus? Two thoughts. Here's the first one. Jesus calls me to a humble surrender in my prayer, in my talking to God. As you read through those words that I just read, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today, give me today my daily bread. Forgive me of my sin, of my debt, as I also have forgiven those that I have sinned against. And do not bring me into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. For yours, Father, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, in those words, taking a few steps back, I really believe that's what we're seeing, is Jesus telling me as a child of God, me, Curtis, you need to come to prayer with a humble surrender. Because what I've just prayed in those words, if I believe them and I really want that to happen, I have to humbly surrender to them. I can't try to take over. I have to allow God to do that. And how will God do that? He'll often do it through us, right? Through me, through you. One who is humbly surrendered. So when I pray, your kingdom come, God's going to say, great, you really believe that? I want to bring my kingdom to earth through you, Kurt. Oh, well, but I got a really busy day, you know, and I got a really busy... You prayed it. You know, this is what you said to me, that you wanted my kingdom to come. You said that my name should be holy and lifted up. I do. Well, then what are you watching on TV? Well, it's, you know, it's on Netflix. I mean, See, there has to be a humble surrender in our prayer. When I pray to God, say, God, do this, work in this way, show me who you are, provide here, whatever. If I'm not careful, it becomes a me list again. And I believe Jesus is saying, you need to come to prayer. I'm calling you to prayer. I want you to talk to my Father, but come with a humble submission to his plan, his will, his character, his kingdom being established, and yours not so much. There's a humble submission. Real quickly, there's a second one. He calls us to an intentional obedience in our prayer. He calls us to an intentional obedience. Did you see obedience there? The one that always stands out is, forgive us as we forgive others. Is that obedience? Have I been commanded to forgive those who sinned against me? Did Peter not ask that question? Did Jesus not answer it? See, Jesus is calling us to a prayer life. He's calling us to talk to his Father, but he's saying, you come humbly, broken, submitted to what you're praying, that God would do it, and you need to be ready to be a part of it. And it's going to be very tangible, and it's going to be very specific and practical. God is going to respond to our talking to him by saying, okay, do you trust me? Will you obey me? Here's what I want. Do we not get that more often than not, his answer to prayer is this? Well, then, Kurt, I want you to go do that. No, wait, no, I'm asking you. I want you to get rid of that. No, I'm asking you to provide. Shh. I'm trying. Go get rid of that. Go let go of that. Go do that. Go make that right with that person. Step into that person's life. You know what? There's a behavior in your life. There's an attitude. There's a thought in your life, and it really needs to go. It's incompatible with the life of a child of God. Would you just let go? No, you're not hearing me, God. I'm asking you to help my health. My health needs to be... I'm hearing you. So often when we come to God and talk to him, what his response to us is, will you obey me? Will you do this? Will you trust me? See, Jesus says, I want you to talk to the Father. Here's how you do it. You come in humble surrender in your prayer, and you come with an intentional obedience, a desire to obey the Father's will. Let me close with this thought. We're going to respond this morning, and I want to set the table for that. We're going to sing. We're going to give our offerings to God in a few minutes. There's going to be an opportunity to come and kneel up here. There'll be an opportunity to come over here and be prayed with and prayed for, someone that loves Jesus and loves you, and they're ready to walk that road with you. You're going to have opportunity where you're sitting in the next few minutes to just, you and God. If you've heard from God, He wants you to respond to that. Let me set the table for that. Can I do that just quickly? Last week we talked about our giving and we laid a block. Let me give you another block. It's at the bottom of your notes. Just two thoughts. The first one is this. We need to examine our authenticity. You guys, we just got to be real. We got to look into the mirror of God's word and we got to be real. We got to let go of our hypocrisy, our idolatry. Our Father deals with us according to our authenticity. Did you hear those words? Father, forgive us as we... You mean there's a... Yeah, there's a stipulation. If you're not honest with me, if you're not... You want me to forgive you and you're unwilling to forgive somebody else? Do you remember that parable? Do you remember how that one ended? Badly. You want me to forgive you, but you're unwilling to... No. When you're ready to be real, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to talk. And check your motive. Because I'll suggest to you this morning that prayer is really nothing more than this. It's coming to terms. And you see the list there in your notes? Take a look at that list. It's about coming to terms with God's name, with God's will, with God's plans, with God's sovereignty, with God's character, with God's honor, with God's power, God's glory, and you fill in the other ones. That's what prayer is. It's coming to terms with who God is. And I'm just laying there on the bed with my head on the pillow, and it's just me. It's the real me. And I'm talking to God. And God is listening, and God is talking to me. Oh, grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of what God is offering us, what Jesus is calling us to. Father, I'll say it again, it just blows my mind that you would invite us into this relationship through your Son. My prayer in this moment is that we would respond to that invitation.